You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, October 9th, 2015. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It's Casual Friday, folks. And apparently, the apocalypse is nigh. I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think it's in Deuteronomy 5:7, when the Republican cloakroom breaks out in tears. The seven-headed beast will come from the east. I have no idea what that means. Also on the program today, it's Casual Friday. Cliff Schechter's here. And then, oddly, why would we do this? Both Matthew Film Guy and Isabel Gillies will be here to give us movie recommendations, but in fact, they won't be giving us movie recommendations as a send-off to Matt Binder on his final non-Matt Mike Mondays on a Tuesday day on this program. Isabel and Matthew Film Guy will recommend to Matt what things he should watch as a form of goodbye advice. Yeah, I know. It's heavily involved, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure it's going to break down. Also on the program, undoubtedly you've heard the Republican House is in total disarray. Meltdown, ladies and gentlemen. FUBAR, if you will. Snafu. We will get into the details. It's a wonderful story of intrigue. It's hilarious, and hopefully it won't destroy the country inadvertently in the next 2 months. I'm sure something will be done. Also, Flint, Michigan's water will no longer, hopefully, shortly, be continuing to poison its children. Yes. That's right. You heard that right. Also, a voting assault in Alabama. They have their voter ID law, and then they just closed a huge percentages of the places where you get your voter ID in just coincidentally districts with a large number of African Americans and heavily Democratic. Also on the program, more updates on the clown car, the debate prep. Cliff and I will talk about Hillary's flip, I guess, on the TPP. And we'll also talk about how apparently we're going to have to beg the Lord above to destroy us because somewhere in the country, a monument of Ten Commandments was removed. So, I mean, somebody really should have thought of that before they moved it, because I, for one, am exhausted. Saul has a cold, fever, and so I get no sleep.
I like the seamless transition there between the world ending and your lack of sleep.
No. Well, wait a second.
That was interesting.
The world is not ending. It just means that we have to beg God for forgiveness. Or, I guess, apparently,
we want to beg him to end it. That's how
end it, yes.
Bad it's going
to
be.
Well, here's my point. I am in no mood to go and have to, you know, scrounge around and beg to God because I'm exhausted. That's my point. So right. It's not so much that I'm turning, you know, I'm weighing the fact that I have got no sleep last night versus the end of the world. It's just that, like,
I'm not available for any of it is basically what you're saying.
Exactly.
Stays, goes, whatever.
Look, I'm not going to go and beg to God just because I wasn't responsible for those Ten Commandments.
A prideful man.
Exactly.
And his downfall.
It's not my fault. I will say this, though. And this is like, you know, one of those things that of the few things that I remember as a child is watching my father shave. Saul loves to watch me shave. I'm terrified, of course, that he would get a hold of a razor and cut himself. But I found a solution. As you know, I used to use disposable, full-on disposable as plastic, full-on razors. So I'd have to buy like 30 of them, keep them a huge pain in the butt. I don't know how many months ago it was now. Was it 6, 7 months ago? Harry's, as part of sponsoring this program on occasion, sent me a razor set, and I've been using Harry's ever since. You know, shaving can be a pain. It can be uncomfortable. For me personally, it causes razor burn and nicks, and it also, if you buy, I mean, I used to buy crappy razors, but if you attempt to buy even decent razors, it's going to cost you a fortune. Harry's is about half the price of other big branded blades, and they ship it to your right, your front doorstep for free. They're better, too. So why would you pay $32 for a pack of 8 blades? It's half the price at Harry's, and with Harry's, you get a better shave that respects your skin or face or your legs. If you, I mean, I don't shave my legs, but I presume it works just as well on the legs as it does on the face. So no more poor quality blades, and no more of those like huge boxes. Like it's like the Superman's fortress that they bury those things in. It's like the ice fortress with all the plastic. And here's the other thing, and I don't know if this is going to be as relevant to you, but I can give Saul the handle without the razor on it, and he can pretend like he's shaving. So I don't know if that's necessarily unique to Harry's, but for me, it's a new experience. And they have an amazing deal for their starter kit. If you're a first-time buyer of Harry's, you get, for $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 razor blades. If you use the coupon code MAJORITYREPORT, you get $5 off of that if it's your first time. So $10 for a razor, shave cream, and 3 blades. Go to harrys.com now, and Harry's will give you $5 off if you type in my coupon code MAJORITYREPORT with your first purchase ever. It's harrys.com. Enter the coupon code MAJORITYREPORT at checkout for $5 off. Start shaving better today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to catch Cliff Schechter. He's out and about. Apparently, there was a babysitter fail, and so he is literally out at the park, I think, with his kids. But this whole oh, really? Wow. All right, we are just getting in now, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently, exclusive. Is it video or audio? Audio footage of what was taking place inside the cloakroom in the Republican caucus yesterday. As you know, in the morning, Kevin McCarthy was walking around Capitol Hill convinced that he was going to be the next Speaker of the House. Something happened, and we will talk to Cliff about the different scenarios that have been floated, but something happened between the time that he wound up at Capitol Hill, went into the cloakroom. They thought they were going to be voting on the next Speaker, and it turns out he announced that he is not going to be running for Speaker. Then John Boehner was like, okay, and we're going to postpone the elections. And there were reports, apparently, that the Republicans in there completely freaked out, and reports supposed that they were crying. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's play this audio. Is this an exclusive for us?
Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah.
All right, this is exclusive audio of what was taking place inside the Republican cloakroom yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, that's Peter King.
Specifically.
Is that Peter King?
Yes.
It sounded just like Peter King, but apparently it also sounded like he had his mom there.
He had also been bullied during the day, which we'll find out more about later.
That's right. He got pushed out of the way right after that.
Indeed. It was yeah, it was a rough day for him.
Well, my heart goes out to the Republicans. You know, of course, this has some pretty serious implications. So if you have the opportunity, folks, I have not seen any website that's coordinating this, but please send pacifiers to the Republican caucus so they can sort of, you know, gather themselves and move forward. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter will be with us. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Casual Friday, even though this is Matt Bender's last Friday. Still, we're keeping it casual. And so it's absolutely necessary that Matt Bender play this song for the final time.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Yes, Cliff Schechter joining us on the final Friday of Matt Bender's long tenure, the longest standing producer of the Majority Report. In its history, I think.
Including the old Air America?
I think even including the old Air America one.
How long was Bender here for? How long has he been here for?
It seems like decades, but it's been a half a decade.
4.5 years, yeah.
Wow.
Dude. Yep. You just throw it all away like that, huh?
Yeah. What's really stunning is he just found out how to operate the soundboard. That is what is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I never knew before.
Like half the buttons, you had no idea what they are. You still don't.
It's sort of like free training. You might as well take advantage of it when you're about to leave.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Cliff, let's not spend too much time on the model and goodbyes for Matt.
Well, I do have to ask one quick question before we get into the fun stuff, which is I wasn't allowed to know the name before. Where is it that young Bender is headed to?
I am going to a website that is yet to launch. It launches on Tuesday, and it's called cafe.com. And it's going to be a political site, so you'll be interested in it, perhaps, Cliff.
All right, well, I'll have to check it out. So it's not about food, you're saying?
It's not about food, no. Even though it's called cafe, yes.
Yeah, that's going to be confusing. That's going to be a little
bit confusing. I'm there, baby. I am there.
Awesome.
So good luck, my friend.
Thank you, Cliff.
I think people are going to be confused by that. But nevertheless, Cliff, this has been really stunning in a way, and perhaps not too – it shouldn't be that surprising. I mean, first off, Kevin McCarthy was going to be a disaster for them. And I've heard really now like three, I think, solid competing – notions as to why he dropped out.
I was kind of excited for his next speech on TV where he admitted that George H.W. Bush met privately with the Iranians, that Nixon subterfuged the Vietnam talks, and that Ronald Reagan did actually recall what was going on in those meetings.
Yeah, well, about Iran-Contra. Yes, and
yes, I can only assume that, that he was going to admit to all sin the party had taken part in over, let's say, the last 50 years. And that would have been fun.
And the other thing, on top of him making those type of admissions, I would imagine he's also get the syntax wrong. I mean, this guy's not
what you'd call a genius.
Right. He's not what we would refer to as a brain surgeon before we became aware of Ben Carson.
Right. Right. Exactly. We have to change that now, that saying. I don't know, you know, and I know like he had a very sort of meteoric rise within the party. He hasn't even been there that long. I can only assume it's because he raised gobs of money, because it's certainly not from any sort of obvious political talent. I have to admit, I didn't know much about the guy until recently. I knew he was majority leader. Obviously, I knew he was there. I knew he had risen quickly. That was about the extent of my knowledge. And so seeing him on TV and seeing sort of his behavior and the rest and how just politically tone deaf he is, I was sort of surprised he'd gotten to where he'd gone to. And quite frankly, in addition to that, I'll tell you, even when I just first heard he was from California, obviously there are more conservative areas of California. Obviously, you know, there is the inland part, inland empires, I believe they call it, something of that sort. And there are, you know, it's not like California is all liberal all the time. But it seems if you're sending a message, you know, where you're sort of the central part of your party comes from, you'd want to do something in either the deep south or you know, the rural kind of mountain west or plains or Midwest. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just me being silly.
Maybe you don't want to sort of be ham-fisted about that. But nevertheless, this guy is basically what we would call today a brain surgeon when it comes to politics. And
yes.
So he was quite bad. But then it depends on who you sort of, you know, believe here in this scenario. By all accounts, this guy, when he got to the Hill yesterday, because this is when the vote was going to be, he thought he was still running by all accounts. And it certainly appeared that way. And then there are reports that an email was circulated, sent to him, CC'd to a bunch of other people from a right wing, big donor out in California. Wait, it's a guy. Forgive me here. Wait a second. Here it is. It was from Steve Bear in Chicago, I should say. And he's
from who? I'm sorry.
A guy named Steve Bear, a Chicago-based GOP donor, and it was addressed to McCarthy and numerous others, including the personal account of Representative Renee Elmers, who conservative media sites have suggested is tied romantically to McCarthy. Now, this was followed after a Wednesday letter from Representative Walter Jones, which I think I read on air yesterday, which basically said, like, hey, you know, it's really important if you're running for one of these offices that you don't have any basically skeletons in the closet, because it's bound to come out tomorrow or the next day. And you're going to be it's going to be an embarrassment for the party. And we don't need that.
So I had heard these rumors. I didn't know that anything that concrete, not concrete in terms of now we know 100%, but that there actually had been anything in writing as so much as like an email. That is fascinating.
Yep. Moments later, he walks down the hall and he says, you know, I really don't think I can unify everybody. Now,
you heard this whole insane story in the Michigan legislature, right?
When was this? Recently?
Yeah, it came down a couple weeks ago, where basically one member was expelled. The other one, these were these Tea Party
who were having affairs with each other. Right.
And he tried to come out with, like, he tried to have somebody send out an email saying that he was having, like an affair with, like, a gay hooker or something, because he wanted to pull one of those Karl Rove things where it would be so over the top and it would discredit anybody who told the truth, which was he was having an affair, he, Mr. God-fearing, and same with her, were both cheating on their families with each other. This is just so standard with these hypocrites who feel they can tell everybody else what to do and punish everybody else with fire and brimstone for any perceived mistake. But
well, to be honest with you, I have no idea if Kevin McCarthy has ever talked about adultery or moral values, or frankly, if Renee Elmers has. And that to
me
seems.
They're both Republicans who had to run in Republican primaries or even general elections against Democrats. I'm very shocked if the words family values did not cross their lips among other stupid sayings along those lines, traditional marriage and things of that sort.
But the real story to me is, this is how far they were willing to go to personally destroy the guy from taking the speakership, okay? I mean, this is the game that's being played now. You know, we have said many times, the difference between a Tea Party Republican and a so-called establishment Republican is really just a matter of media training. These are two different companies in the same industry. It's Coke versus Pepsi. And it's quite clear that Pepsi is willing to literally do anything to win here. And the reason why this is relevant is because now there's nobody who's going to run. Now, we should say that's one scenario. The other scenario that McCarthy's trying to float, and one could imagine there's a lot of incentive for him to float an alternate theory as to why he didn't run for speaker, because Mr. McCarthy is still married, and his wife apparently
he
was there.
He could spend more time with his family.
He could spend more time with his family. Maybe he could spend more time with some other.
With Renee Elmer's family.
Who
you never
knows?
Know.
I mean, maybe he split the time. It doesn't matter. The other
maybe he goes out swinging with Newt Gingrich. You don't know these days.
It's impossible to know. Now, apparently, what has come up this morning is a document that the Freedom Caucus. Now, remember, there's 40 members of the Freedom Caucus, and they believe in freedom. That's why they're called the Freedom Caucus. And so, now. There's 247 Republicans in the House. A majority, in terms of just strict vote, is 218. So you can do the math there, folks. 40 minus 247 gets you to 207, which is 11 votes shy of a majority. So in other words, if you don't have this group...
If all the Democrats vote for Nancy Pelosi and you don't have enough on that side, she theoretically, they split. Among people, she theoretically could take the House.
Oh, they could. But the point is, this is the power that the Freedom Caucus has. And they went, and apparently it's David Bratt is a prominent member of the Freedom Caucus.
He's the guy that beat Cantor.
Yep. And they're pushing for more democracy and freedom, presumably, in the House.
Interesting enough, he's also kind of the guy who caused this whole problem, isn't it?
Yes, he is indeed.
Yeah.
By beating a Cantor, who would have...
So he's really just a pain in the ass on all fronts for them.
Yes, and
it makes me like him a little more, even
which makes me love him, exactly. And so so here it is. This questionnaire from the House Freedom Caucus to the prospective Speaker of the Houses basically seeks a commitment from the next speaker to tie any increase in the debt ceiling to cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Now... As you know, Cliff, the debt ceiling, basically, we hit the debt ceiling around the first or second week of December. And House...
The debt ceiling is just the budget.
Well,
sorry, that's what Ben Carson said.
You're doing your best impersonation of a brain surgeon who doesn't know what the debt ceiling is.
But we can just cut our spending. How can we keep spending? We'll cut it in the future.
Here's what I would do.
Know what that means? I've told you twice already. Let me whisper it. It means that there already has been that money spent. Yeah, but we could just cut the budget.
I would look very carefully.
And it was pretty funny to listen to like an NPR person try and sort of absorb like, wow, this guy really is a total idiot. Wait, but he's run. Yeah. He's number two. How do I pretend like I'm not being critical of this? And
He's so talented in being a brain surgeon. He's clearly separated the two cerebral... He separated the two hemispheres of his own brain and actually was able to keep himself alive doing it.
So the House the House Freedom Caucus also wants the next speaker to commit to not funding the government at all unless President Obama and Senate Democrats agree to defund Obamacare, Planned Parenthood, and a host of other priorities. Now, this is coming after the House Freedom Caucus met with Ted Cruz early in the week. So you start to get a sense of, and this is what Kevin McCarthy wants us to believe, is that they were just way too unruly. And I just decided, like, this is just too much tumult and just too much bad tempers on all sides. So regardless of which story you believe, the one that, saves Kevin McCarthy some uncomfortable moments at dinner at home, or the one that is, that is a lot more sordid. At the end of the day, you're stuck with no one who. This is fascinating because I was listening to Mark Levin last night, who has been railing on Boehner and demanding that he go for years. And last night he was saying that Daniel Webster is not the guy, that House conservatives have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. We have to do this very measured. We have to find somebody who's going to be fully, get everyone's support. And they don't have anybody like that. They think it's
Who is that?
I don't know. I mean, do you think Paul Ryan is that guy?
The only two I know of. Well, yeah, they all seem to be going to Paul Ryan, and he kind of gets grandfathered in as a right wing nut because of his budgets in the past, and he's got the name recognition from running for VP. So it seems like he may be one of the few people that, not via necessarily politics, but just because he's got a bit of a public profile, can unite people. But he seems very clearly to be smart enough, at least in this case, to not want it. And he said numerous times, including most recently yesterday, that he has absolutely zero interest in it. So I think that, it doesn't seem to be like one of these, where you feign like you're not interested, but you really are. Like, he seems to realistically not be interested. So,
but why would he be? Why would he be? This is the ultimate.
He can only drag you down.
This is the ultimate career ender, it seems to me. Right? Because,
right.
I mean, the best case scenario for anybody entering into this position would be to actually, for the Republicans to somehow lose control of Congress in a year and a half, because there's just no way you go in there and Paul Ryan is going to alienate people. And he knows he can sit there on the House Budget Committee and, like you say, put out these budgets that builds his bona fides with the conservatives. They'll never happen because everybody knows they're a joke. But I mean, if he's speaker, he has to make a decision. Are we going to raise the debt ceiling or not? And
right. The only reason there is to do this at this point is if he wants to just become a high paid lobbyist and wants to have the title of speaker, on the letterhead and do it for one term and leave. That's literally the only reason you do it, because it'll destroy any other hope you have of running for anything ever again. So, if that's your hope, then, I'm surprised you can't find somebody who is willing to do it just for that reason. But that's it.
Cliff, I would argue that right now, if he left the House, he'd be in better shape as a lobbyist, because he wouldn't.
Ways and means now. Yeah.
And he wouldn't be alienating, large swaths of his caucus. And so, but it seems like he's getting a lot of pressure to take this job, and he may actually have to take it. And then, who knows? I mean, I don't, all I can imagine is, the real question is.
You're not a Jason Chaffetz supporter?
I would think they should do, and you don't need to be a member of the House. They should draft Donald Trump. He would make a marvelous speaker,
true.
I think. And. No, but this is
that actually may be the perfect out for everybody from this whole sort of escapade going on.
Right when Mandela
Trump doesn't really want to be president, he could be speaker, sort of like a part-time job. It's not like they're going to be open very often under Republican leadership, and he can still do everything else he wants to do. It's not like corruption's a problem for them either.
But here's the thing, Cliff. I mean, what happens here? Like, I know that when Denny Hastert came in. It was sort of a similar situation, right? Newt Gingrich had stepped down. Livingston was supposed to be the guy. And then this was during impeachment, and it turned out he was having an affair, which is really hard to sort of square that circle, that you're impeaching a president for lying about an affair when you yourself have had an affair that you have obviously lied
right.
about.
It was much easier to actually put the guy in who had molested kids during wrestling.
Right, exactly.
But they didn't know that yet in their defense. Or they probably knew it, but they knew nobody else knew it.
I wonder if Tom DeLay, because he was Tom DeLay's guy, I wonder if Tom DeLay knew that. You know what I mean?
You like, may have known that. I may have been, yeah. I mean, that's so Tom DeLay to do something like that, right? I mean,
right. Like, I've got the goods on this guy, and that's what's going to happen. So, but here's the thing, is that Denny Hastert was Tom DeLay's thing. He had a power source. Boehner's basically, to the extent that Boehner had any power source, Kevin McCarthy was his guy. I don't know how we're not in the exact same situation 3 months from now. If right. Boehner stays, I mean, there, or I just don't. I
don't care who it is. I mean, there may be something that I'm not seeing here. I'm certainly open to that idea. But I, even, you know, you may be able to elect somebody. So right now, most of them can't even get elected. Well, Paul Ryan may, just because, again, of the budgets he put out in the past that were ridiculous and were never even tried because they're ridiculous and can't work, and the name recognition factor of running for VP, might be able to be one of the few ones who they could get a majority to actually elect. But as you said, nothing changes in 3 months, because at some point he has to say, you know, what do I do about the debt limit? What do I do about the budgets? What do I do about trying to go against 73% of the public and defund Planned Parenthood, right? I mean, you know, and shut down the government over that. Like, what, you know, what, there's no path forward. And no matter what path he takes, they do not have enough people united in their party at this point who can all get together. In other words, I guess what we're saying, and, you know, we have to give credit where credit's due. I think this is what Chris Matthews was saying yesterday. They're not really a party anymore in that sense. I mean, they don't have a, you know, it's not like two different wings of a party. They literally completely disagree with each other on tactics and how to go forward. Not to say that they aren't all crazy people in their beliefs are sort of similar, but they can't agree on how to move forward together. They can't elect a leader. I don't know who they can elect long term. They can maybe elect Paul Ryan short term. I don't know how they continue to exist as a party in the House, and I'm being serious about that.
Well, I mean, I think
so, I'm kind of interested to see where they go from here.
I mean, to a certain extent, it
feels a little bit like Pete Wigdom.
Yeah, I mean, this is to a certain extent, it's what I'm trying to express when I say these are two.
There?
Yeah, can you hear me? I was saying,
I don't know, where'd you lose me?
Well, no, we didn't ever lose you, actually. You were saying that this, you don't know, we're a peak Wigdom, according to you. And I think to a certain extent, that's what I'm trying to express when I say these are two different businesses in the same industry. It's not that they're selling a different product. It's just that they're competitors to get to market with basically the same product. And so they can't reconcile, because there is no compromise here, because this is literally a zero-sum game for these people. There's basically two competing businesses. And I almost mean that literally, in the sense that you have money just flowing through here, and the competition really is between different groups of money and who's going to get a hold of those riches. And that's a zero-sum game, because this isn't about ideology. This is really about, like, you know, when Ted Cruz goes over to the House and says, you guys got to do this, and I'm like your big brother, and sort of like, this is like sort of like my bodyguard, and I'm the bodyguard, and you're like the little kids, and you guys do this, and I got your back. He's not doing it because there's ideology involved in this as much as it is like, I'm going to be president. And then right. All of you guys are going to be part of my kitchen cabinet or whatever it is. Who knows? But what's fascinating here to me, too, is that.
And of course, to be clear, it's happened less slowly, because you have to win an entire state. And for certain upstarts, that takes a lot more money and more media markets. You know, you also, states, obviously, some of them, a few of them, and you get Mike Lee from Utah and Ted Cruz from Texas, but a lot of the states aren't quite as tilted as these districts are. So even if you're from a conservative state, it's not sort of a crazy, crazy uber right-wing state like, let's say, a district is. So, but the Senate's headed in that direction, too.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Let's just think about this from Ted Cruz's perspective, right? Because he's over there probably encouraging this type of thing. And you have to ask yourself, okay, if he's doing that, why? Because at the end of the day, what's going to end up happening is some variant of either a Boehner clone gets in, or Boehner gets in. And that Boehner clone, because Boehner's already there, he doesn't have to get a vote, really. I mean, they have to try to get rid of him, and that would be, I think, too difficult. But because now there's like a huge swath of the caucus that realizes, like, there's nobody else. Nobody else will take this job. Or they put up somebody who needs Democratic votes to win. And in that case, you've got, you know, one third of the Republican Party who is completely disaffected. And Ted Cruz can get up in the next debate and say, this is an outrage. This is why you need someone like me. And then he's going to put Rubio on the spot to come and get that far right. And everyone else is going to have to follow. And the question is like, you know, I mean, I wonder.
But also, we're being honest, Cruz is just the mouthpiece for it also. You've got Mike Lee behind him,
yep.
And you've got a good at least half dozen, if not more, of the loonies from, you know, the Mountain West and a few deep southern states, you know, that will jump right in on this too. So Cruz isn't just speaking for himself even. He's speaking for a growing coalition in the Senate. I don't know how they reconcile all this stuff. I really don't. I think we are. I mean, you know, they may. I don't know. We'll see. Right? I mean, people have been predicting the party's going to break up for years, so I'm not going to go so far as to predict that's going to happen. But, you know, I don't know how.
But I don't even know how. How does the party break up? I don't understand, like, what that even means, really. Right? I mean, like.
Well, if enough people said we're now, you know, we have no control of the institutional Republican Party anymore. We're starting our own, which is called the Tea Party, you know, and it's an actual party or something. I don't know, right? And none of this has happened in modern history.
We're
kind of living a little history here.
It seems a little bit early, but it does seem like that we are possibly, I mean, I wouldn't say that this now, but, you know, I have, to be honest with you, I don't feel like I've ever been as less sure of what's going to happen with this stuff. Whether it's like a week from now or 3 months from now, really unclear. And it seems to me that there is, I mean, I can work out a couple of scenarios where it's like, this could possibly, threaten control of the House, you know, in 2016. I mean, it could, it's sort of hard to imagine. They have such a big majority, but you know,
if you think about way institutions like this, you know, go down, it's never, you know, it's not like these things happen the way you would think in a history book. You know, you read it, and it seems like when you're reading it, one thing after another, and you find out they happen like 9 months apart from each other or 2 years apart or whatever. I mean, this could be that first thing where literally you have two factions that are so separated in the House that they refuse to work with each other. They set up different priorities. They set up different people who they vote for. And you get to a point where you're really running a parliamentary system to a certain degree.
And
even if they're ostensibly from the same party, and that spreads. That'll spread to the Senate, and it spreads. Obviously, in the presidential race, it's already sorting itself out. So, I mean, who knows, right? This could be the beginning of a long process.
And, you know, the other thing to keep an eye on, too, is that, you know, Ted Cruz's calculation could very well be, we will force President Obama to basically push you know, the idea of, let's say, a $1 trillion coin or something to deal with the debt limit, which will really fire up our base in their minds. Now, of course, it could create tremendous damage to our economy and whatnot. But nevertheless, you know, I don't think these guys care.
That's
about
not a concern to Ted Cruz, clearly.
Now, we should also just note, just because it's hilarious, but Newt Gingrich, it seems, really open to the idea that he would get appointed interim House Speaker.
Because God, of course.
Now, look, you understand, right? This is what
I
brought
think it should be Ted Nugent.
As that's he said, it brought exactly. It brought George Washington back into politics. So Newt Gingrich is out there comparing himself to George Washington. It's hilarious. It'll never happen. But it's really, it's sort of like, you know, I think his CNN show got canceled and probably he's sort of feeling like I should have gotten into this race, the presidential race.
Because... And I can see the comparisons, can't you? I mean, if George Washington had been fat, trashy, kind of dumb, cheated on Martha for an intern, yeah, sure. Why not? That he could be Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, you know. I mean, maybe they both have wooden teeth. I have no idea. So this is... So, quickly, I know you got to go because I don't want your kids
to... Well, the kids have been behaving, so I've been able to hang in here a little longer.
That's
so.
Good. I don't know how you manage that. There was a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Hillary's reversal on the TPP. Let's not spend too much time on that because, frankly, I don't know if I buy it. There seems to be, you know, I remember, I'm so old, I remember when Barack Obama said, we're going to renegotiate NAFTA. 15 minutes before his advisor was in Canada going, like, we're not going to really negotiate.
Until labor makes it so that someone is actually punished for reversing themselves on trade or any other allied groups on this, I don't trust. I mean, I remember that from Barack Obama. I remember Bill Clinton saying he was for NAFTA, but they would be fair and there'd be labor standards and all this. Whatever you think of any of our recent Democratic presidents, none of this stuff with free trade has, you know, so whether Hillary Clinton actually is really against it or not, I have no idea. You can only analyze it from the same perspective you can analyze Keystone from, which is, you know, it matters that Bernie Sanders is running. It matters that progressive activists have been out there and making noise. And this is a different party than it was 20 years ago, because back then you could make those promises. Even hell, when Obama was running, there still was a very strong third way faction.
Yep.
And they have been incredibly weakened to the point where to win the nomination, this is what Hillary Clinton has to do. On those are two issues out of a number, but pick those two.
I don't think TPP is solely about Bernie Sanders. I also think it's about Joe Biden. Because as much as it brings her in line and sort of like negates that as a as much as it is defensive in terms of Bernie Sanders, it is also offensive in terms of Joe Biden. Because Joe Biden, she can say, look, I said this was a great trade deal when I worked for the administration. All right. That was what my job was. But Joe Biden can't say that. He can't come out and say, like, well, I only support this trade deal because I'm part of this administration. You can't say that when you're part of the administration. And so it would put him in a real corner. Now, my sense is that now is that Joe Biden may very well jump in the race. He just told an outside expenditure group there were two things. One, apparently he went to the DNC and asked about had his people meet about all the regulations and rules about him running. The other was that he said publicly he hopes this outside expenditure group, like I think it's like the draft Joe Biden thing, don't run their ad that basically exploits his family, the family tragedies that he's suffered. And I feel like that's sort of a way of deflecting the fact that there was that story that he had told Maureen Dowd about Beau, his son, telling him that he had better values and that's why he has to run for president against the Clintons. It's very weird scenario. Frankly, I think he doesn't do himself any favors in terms of legacy or in terms of any chance to become president if he jumps in. But
I don't think Biden offers what you'd call an alternative to the currently existing race. You know what I mean? I mean, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton have a number of differences. And so I think that's a good debate. I'm not sure what Biden brings to it if he comes in. It's late. I still think he'd have trouble raising the kind of money he needs to raise. Yes, he's got some super PAC supporters, and yes, he's got I've heard some financial people, I don't remember who they are, who've switched from Hillary to him if he runs, but I still don't see how he puts together the kind of operation he needs to put together financially in this. So I don't know. I certainly have a lot of problems with Biden on bankruptcy and some other things. I think he's also been terrific on certain things like family leave, on gun safety, and some things I really care about. But I don't think that he offers enough of an alternative that it makes sense. I guess I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. All right. Well, so just lastly, and I know that we're going to talk either the night of the debate live and we'll post it on Wednesday, or we're going to actually talk at noon on Wednesday. I'm going to do a special debate wrap up. As you know, I finagled some credentials. I will be in Vegas and I'm going to attend the debate. Probably they'll stick me in the basement with Radio Row and I will be able to watch it on TV. But I will actually be in closer proximity than other people watching it on TV, in which case it's
like... And that means that you know something we don't automatically.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly why you do that, to portray, like, I am here.
That means
now.
You can say you were there, and that means everything.
Right. And the beauty of being on the radio, people don't necessarily know that you are stuck in a basement watching it on TV.
Unless, of course, like, you announce it. Oh, my God, Hillary Clinton just walked by and not say she walked by, like, 10,000 feet away from you.
That's right. I can see Hillary Clinton from where I'm sitting right now. All right. What are there a couple of things that we should be looking for in this debate? Some broad strokes.
broad strokes are going to be similar to a lot of things we've been seeing. Hillary Clinton will, I mean, or we'll start with Bernie, who will try to set the debate about money in our political system and how that has corrupted our politics and how that has led to the income gap it's led to and how it's led to the environmental issues. My guess is if he does criticize Hillary Clinton, it certainly will be on certain. She has refused so far to say, that she would reinstate Glass-Steagall. He said that. Martin O'Malley said that. I could see them both piling on that. I think that's going to be an issue that's going to come up, is our banking system in general. I think Hillary Clinton and Martin O'Malley, because they are so, especially with the recent mass shooting, and frankly, there was another one today. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
Not of the ilk that happened there, but in Northern Arizona University, I believe, where four people are shot, it's a mass shooting, and one person, somebody pulled out a gun, shot and killed one person, injured three others. So clearly this issue isn't going anywhere, and Bernie Sanders has certainly not been at his best on that. You can see O'Malley and Hillary talking about that. And I think another one that's going to come up is the mass incarceration and the sort of the state that we have, because Hillary Clinton, Bernie is very much against that. Hillary Clinton has come out with a proposal on that. And O'Malley, as mayor of Baltimore, was in favor of those zero tolerance policies and ended up sweeping a lot of people up and throwing them in prison on pretty sort of bogus, but lame drug charges. So those are all the areas of difference I see and among important issues. Obviously, women's rights issues and the environment are going to be key, too, just because there's so much going on in the states assaulting our rights on those issues. So that's where I see it going.
I got to say, Cliff, I think you may be missing the boat, because I think it's going to be about who's more or less politically incorrect, who's tougher on Putin. And
that's true.
And, I mean, you know, that's what's going to be amazing about this, I think, you know, which
it's
is why
an actual debate.
It's going to be an actual debate. Which one of them talks to God is not going to be one of the questions. It's not going to be, who's going to, you know, who's going to be more or less politically incorrect or Hillary has said that, it's just going to be actual debate. It's going to be fascinating to sort of juxtapose. I wonder if they're going to, one wonders if CNN's going to try and, make it a little bit more, I don't know how they'll, I'm afraid that CNN, in a desperate attempt to make it not policy oriented, is going to do stuff that's just going to get us really pissed off. And just sort of feel like, oh, my God, this was a huge waste of time. And frankly, not to sound cynical, but I'm not convinced, based upon the way the DNC has been acting in scheduling these debates, limiting these debates, narrowing the opportunity for other debates, that they wouldn't be saying to CNN, you got the green light to do stupid crap. Like, hey, if you were an animal, what animal would you be? I mean, I think it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but they have the ability to make this a farce on some level. And I'm not convinced that they won't go there, but I guess we're going to have to wait and see. Cliff, thank you so much for neglecting your children on our behalf today.
And thank you for neglecting us now.
Okay, well, there you have it. Cliff must have hung up. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Schechter. He had to go. Something happened to his kid. I'm sure nothing happened to his kid. I was just joking about that. I know that's...
Good job, Sam, turning this into a fun Friday.
Oh, God. There you go. Blew it. I'm sorry. Cliff is fine, everyone. Everybody's fine.
I think Sam might have some sort of problem going on over there.
I had already said it. Saul kept me up all night. It was a real pain in the butt. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Play the Jimmy Reefer Cake song as the break music?
Oh, yes. The final Jimmy Reefer Cake song.
With me
Matt
here. Yes.
We'll be playing.
Yes.
Everything is like the last time Matt will do this.
Yes.
I mean, not all of it, but on a Friday. Let's hear, ladies and gentlemen, what is the Jimmy
It's called the Ben Carson Strategy.
The Ben Carson Strategy. I love how Jimmy Reefercake is being very sort of timely and the week's news oriented. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy Reefercake from allthehypocrisy.com. He's the one who provides us with 90% of our theme songs and has been doing weekly songs for years now for us. Matt is going to miss this because it's one of the highlights of his week.
Life.
Okay. Yeah. Suit yourself. Life. All right. We'll listen to this, and I will get Isabel and Film Guy Matthew on the phone. Bye-bye.
I heard the typical reaction to the latest gun shooting tragedy, but the one that really stood out to me is the Ben Carson strategy. It's a simple game of numbers, says the brain surgeon that I love. So why not just bull rush the shooter, show him what you're made of? You say that you won't do that, 'cause you don't want to die. Yet if you do the arithmetic, these numbers sure don't lie. If you rush him now, he shoots only maybe 4 or 5. If you run away and you let him shoot, less photo folks will remain alive. According to the Ben Carson strategy, to this gun shooting tragedy, you better not run, get yourself a gun. You better not hide, just have some pride. The Ben Carson strategy. Unless, of course, you're in the line at Popeyes and someone puts a gun to you. In that case, you tell him to go for the man behind the counter instead. Different situations, man. Different strategies.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. We are back. That was a great Jimmy Reefercake song.
That was actually one of his best.
One of his best. Now, let's do this. We've got two more theme songs to play, ladies and gentlemen, because we have two of our regulars on to say goodbye to Matt Bender. Here we go.
Today is Casual Friday. Let us welcome Isabel Gillies to the show. She's going to recommend a movie or two to watch on Netflix. It's the only way I know. Listen to the picks from IsabelGillies.com.
Great. You think Matthew, the film guy, is choosing your streams. Cassavetes on Netflix and other such themes. Maybe you'll watch one and learn a few things. Please recommend me a movie to stream.
Matthew, please recommend me a movie to stream. Matthew. Well, I sort of feel like maybe we've already peaked on that segment. Just hearing Isabel, Matthew, just hearing both of you sing back up to your own theme songs, I think basically
highlight of my day.
I think that's it. I don't think we
that was it, Matt.
And as long as it was the highlight of Matt's day, I think we have achieved peak Matt send off.
Peak Bender.
Yeah, we should probably end it here before we ruin it.
I'm good with that.
Ruin it.
Wow, Matt really brought it down.
You're in for some fun, Matt.
Matt really brought everything down.
All right, let's do this.
So
we're going to be overly and artificially nice to you today, Matt. Come on.
That's right. Lady and gentlemen, you are here to provide for Matt a send-off using your expertise, or at least your implied expertise, or at the very least, your projected expertise in recommending. And I have to say, I think it's quite established with this audience that you are both experts in recommending a streaming movie to watch over the weekend to me, but one that would send Matt off with a piece of advice as he goes off and makes probably what's the biggest mistake of his life.
Or second.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Matthew.
I took this seriously,
well,
everyone.
Good, yeah. There you go, Matthew Film Guy.
Is it diet-based, Isabel?
Is it what?
Is it diet-based?
That's funny.
I'm not even
joking.
Know.
I've already done fed up for Matt, but I'm going to be fed up with him if I hear that he's drinking a soda right now.
You should be very fed
I'm
up.
I'm actually not. That's only because I left it in my bag and I forgot to take it out before the show.
Matt, Isabel, his mouth is a graveyard. He needs your intervention more.
All right. So let's start with first with Isabel. Why don't you, Isabel, tell us what you were thinking for Matt? Before we do that, what is the premise? Like, what does Matt mean to you that inspired you to think about this?
This choice today? You guys can laugh, but I thought of that. First of all, Matt, thank you for your time and tuning whatever the thing is that you do over there and getting all the sounds right and
deep thought.
Stuff like that. No, and for your general contributions to the majority part.
Very general.
Yeah. But very thank general. You. That was very kind of you, Isabel.
Generally kind.
Yeah, so I thought about new chapters and I thought about adventure. And I thought about Matt going off into the world. And what came, not only does Matt sort of look like he might be in this movie, I won't reveal it yet. You know, if you put, you'll see. But
I know what movie
this
is
one of my favorite movies. So this is like me giving you, Matt, even if you've seen it, you can rewatch it, giving you what I would give a child of mine to go off into the future with strength and with character and with direction. That's what I was thinking about.
I know what the movie is already.
What?
I know what it is already. The movie is Kids, written by Harmony Korine and
I hated
directed
that movie.
By Larry Clark. That's what it is.
I did not like that movie.
You did not like that movie?
No, I didn't. I saw it too late at night. I was in my early 20s. I saw it too late at night, and it scared me, and I couldn't go to sleep, and I had terrible dreams. Everything about it. I thought it was creepy. I didn't like it.
And was that because it was mostly kids from downtown, and you were a kid from uptown type of thing?
No. I was out of college. I was actually living downtown. It was just too creepy. Like, I didn't like looking at those kids kissing, and just everything about it grossed me out.
All right. Well, that's sort of why I thought you said this is
dark.
Like about like Matt.
I didn't feel as strongly as Isabel, but yes, that movie is very uncomfortable to watch.
It's definitely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's definitely uncomfortable movie to
I'd
watch.
I'd like to see a sequel, Sam. Metropolitan versus Kids, and they and see what happens.
That would be sort of like it'd be like Karate Kid 2 type of situation where like the kids from downtown meet the kids from uptown. And they're all now
like
in their 40s.
West Side Story, maybe, yeah.
They're all now in their 40s and they have a big fight.
That, yeah. God. That well, at least
good.
I get to meet Chloe Sevigny. Well,
there you go.
There you go.
If you really wanted to diss me, Sam, you should have went with Gummo. That would have been the better.
Gummo, would actually. That would have been a good one. That's right. All right. So, Isabel, with that said.
Do you want me to reveal?
Oh, actually,
why don't
no.
We
you
do
know,
both
yeah,
why
right,
have our reasoning
right,
and
right.
then reveal.
So
you're
now
right.
it's up to
you're
Matthew right. Film Guy to also give his heartfelt, impassioned speech about how much I mean to him. Go
right.
ahead, Matthew.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I respect you too much to pander, Matt. I treated this as another quality film recommendation segment, and I did not curtail my pick to go with your leaving, even though I do wish you the best of luck in
well,
your new endeavor.
Well, wait a second, Matthew. Wait a second. First
plus,
off,
plus,
aside from...
Sam, plus, there are no wrestling zombie movies out right now.
Now, actually, you'd be mistaken there. There is actually a wrestling-themed zombie movie, yes.
Wait a second.
Well, then there you go. Go watch that, Matt. Definitely.
Wait a second. Now, just wait a second. First off, I take offense to the notion that Isabel is in any way pandering. Secondly,
I do too. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome, Isabel.
Well, no, I don't blame Isabel.
I'm
you
sincere.
Set her up for that. She's just being polite to you, Sam, because you set her up like that.
Well, no. What she's doing is I conceived of a segment. I asked you to do it, and you basically just said, no way. I'm too good for that kind of thing. I'm just going to come in and, like a bowl in a china shop, and shatter. And poor Matt is over there now, who was thinking that one time after 4 years, he was going to get two tailor-made recommendations for him. Not for me, but for Matt.
I never saw that particular stipulation in the email, make a film recommendation for Matt. You just said, come on to celebrate Matt leaving.
No.
Look, oh,
my
Matt
God.
Every time
Shall
I'm
we
there.
Pull up the email?
Yeah, let's pull up the email because.
And
okay,
also, look at my
right
response.
Now.
Look at my response
I'm
to the email.
It up right now.
Are you guys available for a rare double appearance to say goodbye to Matt by saying goodbye to Matt and suggesting a film for him to watch as a piece of advice for him on his departure?
Burn,
you know,
baby, burn.
I just stopped at say goodbye to Matt. I'm like, I'm in. I didn't even bother to read the rest. I was working. I'm sorry.
Well, that's actually very consistent with the way that Matt and Michael respond to my emails about what's going on in here.
Do you know what I say to my children? I say, read instructions carefully, guys.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah. I never read
That's
instructions.
That's what I say.
That's why I had to return plenty of G.I. Joe toys because I put them together wrong.
What? Well, you didn't put together G.I. Joe toys.
You know, I never read instructions. When you get toys when you're a kid and they, you know, have instructions how to put them together, I usually could put it together.
G.I. Joe comes complete.
Yeah, like you don't,
complete.
Like, connect the arms and heads.
I think the problem you had with G.I. Joe's
no,
was
like
that
the
they...
Airplane.
It was
the Cobra Rattler is the one I had to return, really.
All right, so...
They're big.
Well, that's so cute. You remember which one?
So we've heard from Isabel.
Sure.
We've heard from Isabel, her reasoning in terms of giving Matt a movie recommendation. And we've heard from you, Matthew Film Guy, that you're just above that kind of thing. And
I'm not above it. That's, you know, I it's pure ignorance on my part.
You
so.
Really can't.
He just didn't read it. He just didn't bother to read it.
Even off the top of your head, Matthew, you can't think of a film in your vast knowledge of cinema history that embodies me.
Ooh,
there you go, Matt.
You just got brain surgery.
Well, I do have one. I'll go back to my other recommendation. But, Matt, have you ever seen The Wicker Man?
I have. Which one?
Okay. The original, not the Nicolas Cage review.
I have seen the original, and I actually enjoy the Nicolas Cage version much more, but for a different reason, because it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is hilarious. Well, having said that, I can feed you the one that I had in mind. Also, I have many things on my mind today here. I don't know how much time we have, but if you want to hear from
time.
Me,
no.
I understand. Well, how about this, guys? I'd like to recommend to you guys a new masterpiece series called Indian Summers. It's a story of the Raj, romance, and revolution. This series takes place in 1932 at the height of privilege that was to be the British in India.
How does he have
And the high point was the summer season at the hard-partying colonial retreat of Simla in the Himalayan foothills.
How did you get a copy of that?
Reality intrudes as cries for Indian independence start to simmer. A rich caste representing British and Indian interests alternatively clashed
in
intricate
we
games
get it.
Of power, politics, and passion.
Listen, they haven't paid for
Julia
that.
Julia Waters, who I'm sure is an awesome actor, and a cast of Indian, British, and Pakistani actors star in this visually rich 9
Wait, no, wait a second. Okay, let me explain to Isabel what's going on. Isabel doesn't understand what's going on because she never listens to the show. Isabel,
yeah, that's fine.
For about a week or two, we had a lot of we had ads for Indian Summer.
Is that why I heard of this? Is that? Oh yeah.
Matthew
oh God!
Guy
now there's inside jokes. I come with my sincerity, and now there's inside. So I just feel like a nerd now.
You're welcome inside.
I will appreciate it.
I'm sorry. Wait a second. Did you just tell me that? Film Guy Matthew made you feel like a nerd?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even know. I can't even wrap my head around that. That's like, man, that is, I don't.
Well, the sweeping new series premiered on Sunday, September 26th.
All right, listen to me. Listen. All right, let's hear Isabel. Isabel, do you want to go? No, you know what?
Let Matthew go
now
first.
Now
so
I feel embarrassed.
No,
because
no.
I was so. Mine has no irony.
No, I'm looking most forward to yours, and
yeah,
isn't that the whole
too,
point, Isabel?
Frankly, Isabel, mine too.
Isabel,
me
we
too.
Both bring different flavors. We both
I know
provide different things. So go ahead.
I know. It's true. It's true. It's two sides of a coin.
Right. And yeah. Frankly, your coin, your side of the coin is shinier, Isabel. That's what I say.
Mine is of the
people. So, Matthew Filmaguy, you go first.
Okay. Actually, to be totally honest, I wanted to mention the death of a very important filmmaker that occurred this week and recommend a film for everyone to see in her honor. The Belgian filmmaker Chantal Akerman, who's one of my all-time favorite filmmakers. She's a genius of the cinema. She really rewrote the rules of cinema with one of her early films called John Dielman, which I think I've mentioned on this show. But I want to recommend a documentary, a semi-documentary that she made on New York City called News from Home. And it is an extremely gritty portrait of early, mid-70s New York, intercut with voiceovers of the actual letters that she sent to her mother when she had first come to New York. And it's a very interesting sort of dichotomy between the sort of sweet tale she's telling of the city, plus all these shots of really bombed out, worst New York, drop-dead, you know, New York City in the 70s. And it's available on streaming in many places. And I think everyone would enjoy it. It's not exactly an action film or a genre film, but it is, I think, an important film. And unfortunately, she died this week.
Well,
Isabel
will enjoy that because she grew up in the.
I will.
New York,
I'm going to watch that actually, Matthew Filmaguy, because that sounds great. And also, that's when I was a kid.
Isn't this the second?
Have you ever seen John Dielman? That film? Okay, that's another great one. That's like a three-hour movie about a woman doing housework that is just like mind-bendingly incredible. A lot of long.
Oh, really?
Takes. Yeah. It basically has this scene where she's making a meatloaf. By that point in the movie, it's like an action scene when she starts to tip over a bottle. You like, I've heard audiences gasp like they're at a horror film. Because you're
wait a minute. This
spoiler
sounds
alert.
So up my alley. That's not even funny. I'm a housewife.
Yeah.
Spoiler
yeah.
alert.
I know that was
the
spoiler alert.
Matthew, isn't this the second nitty gritty old New York documentary you've given us in since you've
yeah,
been?
Yeah, it really is. It's just a coincidence.
Are
yeah,
you reminiscing on the
Mondo,
old days? Days gone by, Matthew.
He grew up in Ohio.
Well, yeah, but I was born in Brooklyn in 1975, so I did have some sort of a nostalgic affinity for New York every time I visited. But actually, this is just inspired by the fact that she passed away this week, and that is one of my favorite movies.
So is that the movie you were recommending?
Yeah, News from Home. But also check out John Dielman if you can see that. It's the
John.
But you know what, Matthew Filmaguy? Even though you said that it didn't have to do with anything of Matthew leaving, I actually think that a parallel or some sort of, it sort of hints at leaving and nostalgia and, you know, staying connected through letters is kind of like Matthew leaving.
You're too
Look
good to him,
Look who's joining
Isabel.
The other side of the coin a little bit.
You're
there.
Too good to him, Isabel. You
I,
are
I'm
too
the only
good to
native
him.
New Yorker who works here, too, I believe.
That's true.
So
well, I mean,
go.
I was born here.
Okay, but you weren't raised here.
Everybody's born here.
I wasn't. What do you mean everybody's born
here? Whatever.
Stop
trying to
That's
credit.
True.
Yeah.
Were you born
Way
here?
Off. No, I was born in D.C.
Oh.
Yeah.
So apparently everybody's not born here.
Well, for purposes of the joke, it was funnier if I didn't add the parentheses. Like, except me. Yeah,
I think actually that works better.
All right, so everybody's born here, except for
I was
Michael.
Here when I was a toddler, too, actually. It is
Whatever.
Bizarre.
Everybody's
here
when they're a toddler.
Maimonides Hospital.
I still do a better Bernie impression than you.
That's great.
Yeah, it is great.
That's great. Now, Isabel, thank you for salvaging Filmaguy Matthew's pick. Because he refused to play along
Salvaging,
with the conceit
please.
Of the,
please, but let's not go too far.
And now for the basically the main course, which is Isabel Gillies' recommendation.
Well, I'll tell you that possibly many people, everybody's heard of it.
Wait,
many
let me just stop you right
it.
Here. If this is Moonraker again, I don't want you to do this.
what of Moonraker
you.
Would remind
no,
her of me?
No.
You're traveling
you
off into space.
If you have not seen this movie, you must. It's I can hear myself. I can hear my echo. I'm just going to say it cuz the two words are what you're going to have to summon and you're going to This is what it takes to go on adventure, to leave places, to leave the safety of a job that you know and love. This is what it takes.
Thelma
Ready?
And Louise.
That's oh, that would have been a pretty good one. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Homeward Bound.
Braveheart.
Braveheart's actually one word, isn't it, in the movie?
Braveheart as in the yeah. Mel Gibson movie?
That's right.
Are you saying that?
Am I
going to
get tortured or something?
You really no. built her up a lot for that, Sam.
Wait, it was Braveheart, the Mel Gibson movie, the one where at the end he
That's
yells,
what I'm
Freedom!
Recommending.
Freedom! That one.
Freedom!
He never left home.
I remind you of Mel Gibson?
You are pretty anti-Semitic, you know, and I understand from working with Sam why that would be, but it is a little uncomfortable.
Anti-Semitic?
Hold on. Wait it. Now, wait a second.
What?
Isabel, what does, and look, I've watched Braveheart many times. I watched it when I watched Braveheart. I watched it when I watched Outlaw Josie Wales. I watched it many, many times, that conceit. But what does that have to do with Matt going to another job?
Because he is at home. He is the people come and you've seen it, Matt, have you?
I have.
Come and ruin everything, and then he has to go and forge on and fight the good fight.
Like Luke Skywalker?
If I have the analogy correct, Matt's here in the office. We get invaded by the English, and his dad, I guess, like, theoretically, like, I have been slain, and you are just a small boy. You're looking at my grave, and you say, I'm going to return someday.
You have to go later when his wife dies.
Okay, so I'm the wife.
Yes.
Sam, I think you're the guy that smashes in the face with a mace in his bed.
Am I the guy who gets smashed in the face?
You know what I was trying to do also? Matt, it likes a little bit rougher movie than I usually recommend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little bit bloodier, a little bit, it's epic. Mm-hmm. It's an epic movie.
Yes, it is.
It might, if you watched it this weekend, it might give you some courage and strength and to just rock it out.
I don't know. When you said that, the person in the movie sort of reminded you of me. I was thinking you were
no,
about to
No, I
recommend.
Said you could look. You look like people in the movie.
Oh, Well, thank you for that one. But I thought you were going to, you know, recommend maybe a
those
Brad
are my
Pitt movie.
People.
A
That's
James
where
Dean
I come
film.
From. That's those people are the blue people are where that's Achilles.
Can we pretend that you recommended Breaking Away?
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah.
That's so sad that you wish I had recommended.
I am
else.
Joking, of course, Isabel. Braveheart, we have referenced in this program on this program many times.
We have.
Yes. I mean, not as a movie to see, but referenced it as a cultural touchstone.
What I'm saying.
Whenever, like just today, I was yelling "Freedom" as in Freedom Caucus, and.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm about to do something. Like go on a trip where there's maybe some, you know, I don't really start new jobs because I'm self-employed. But if I ever have to do something that's a little bit like a leap of faith, I go back and I watch Room with a View because it makes me feel good and because it's like a touchstone. So I try to think, what would that be for Matt?
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. So you were trying to...
It's not like...
So it's really
going to summon.
Right. It's going to summon something. Yeah. You have to go forth with a brave heart, if you will.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And good luck when they chop your head off.
don't they torch like in the most horrific, like when they castrate him?
Yeah, they.
And I think don't they rip out his stomach?
I think so, actually.
That's right.
No, they tear him apart in four ways.
Right. That's right. Mm. Good luck with that. That part's going to stink at your new job. I mean, you may get benefits.
That actually is more like how it is here at this show.
You're going to have
doing
fun.
Michael's
if
work
you choose to watch that movie, you'll have fun and you'll thank me.
I love
the look that Michael gives when you say, I'm doing Michael's work. He's like, hey, what is
that's
talking
true.
About? Where am I? What time is it? I don't
Sorry.
Know. I got a headache.
Excuse me?
I got a migraine.
Actually, Matt, I have an email to send you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, let's get back to that later.
Okay.
All right. So, so Isabel, you say Braveheart, and Matthew, you say News from Home. And actually, you know what? I think, like, if you watch both of those together, I think you're going to have immeasurable success, Matt Binder. So congratulations, Isabel and Matthew Film Guy. The sum of the parts is greater than the whole. No, vice versa.
I like that.
Vice versa. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Yes. You guys have come together to create a movie recommendations, a broad aggregate of movie recommendations that I think is going to set Matt off in the proper way. So I will now give you the opportunity to actually say goodbye to him as, you know, we don't have too much more time, and I know people want to say goodbye to Matt.
Matt, please stop drinking soda.
Seriously.
I'll try. That'll be difficult. Maybe I'll start with eating healthier first.
Milo was in studio.
That's actually probably easier than stopping soda for me.
Milo was in studio today, and that was like the first thing she said to you. Right?
Yesterday, you mean? Yeah.
Yesterday.
And then right after she said how unhealthy I eat, she then proceeded to ask me for a bunch of my French fries.
That's right.
Matt, I actually gave up soda myself this year. I turned 40, and I said, you know what? It's time to put away childish things, and it's been okay. I haven't changed anything else about my diet except for stopping drinking soda. Oh, and eating fried foods. But if you can do that, I'd say you're on the road to recovery.
That was a very sentimental send-off, Matthew Film Guy. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Oh, wait, I have another question for Matt. Matt, are you doing anything at Comic-Con this week?
I am not. Not this weekend. I will be missing Comic-Con this year, yes, sadly.
Oh, very sad.
How come?
Is that because you have a child now?
I have a child now, yes.
Uh-huh.
Next year, maybe we just bring him. He'll be old enough.
There you go. Dress him up like something, a little baby Superman.
Believe me, I don't know how many times I've ever said, next year I'll be able to do this. No, never comes. Never comes. Yeah.
It does when they're teenagers. It does when they're teenagers.
Oh, okay, great. When I am an octogenarian, I'll be able to do that.
Well, you know.
I started a little late. All right, Matthew Film Guy, Isabel Gillies, isabelgillies.com. What is it, Langdon Boom Productions?
Langdon Boom, at Langdon Boom. That's my Twitter.
All right, guys, thank you so
now
much.
Now I want to make meatloaf.
Go ahead.
You got to see that movie. John DeSilma.
I am going to see it, and then I'll bring the meatloaf, but Matt won't be there.
See you guys
and
later.
And he wouldn't eat it anyway.
I like meatloaf.
Thanks, guys.
I like meatloaf.
Bye, Matt.
Talk to you later.
Bye, Matt.
Bye, Matthew Film Guy.
Bye, Matt. We're going to miss you. Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye. We'll miss you. Love you, Matt.
Thank you. I always hear Isabel in all the SVU old episodes I watch when they show those marathons on, like, USA.
Mm-hmm.
I watch more than most people probably.
I have no doubt of that, but that'll also end, buddy. You can't get away with that. Not once the kid starts really being a time suck. Believe me.
Oh, I'm already getting him into TV. He's going to really...
Oh, that's very...
I'll be able to just sit in front of the television.
There's nothing better for a newborn than watching the Law & Order series.
How do you think I've been watching Narcos?
Right. That is the best way to do that. Put the kid up in front of that. Just sort of completely indoctrinate. So I guess we should do Freebie Friday.
Yeah.
So that people can hear the goodbyes to Matt.
That
is the sound of Fire RTC, which I use now for most of the interviews. You can go to Fire RTC. I think it is. What is that? Is it FireRTC.com? To check it out. All right. So let's just go right into this. I mean, what did I do with that sound sheet? Oh, here it is. We'll get to some of that. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Ben Carson, because Ben Carson seems to be on a total spree now. I think he realizes, like, hey, wait a second. I'm in the Republican presidential primary. There's nothing I can say that's going to hurt my chances. And so why am I stopping with basically the lies about what I would do in my fantasies if I was pointed with a gun? why would I stop with expressing the fact that the time that I was facing a gun, I basically said, oh, no, the person you want is over there. Women and children first. They're the easy. They're the low-hanging fruit. That's basically what he said. Go for the low-hanging fruit. And there's women and children over there. You might as well try and shoot them. Well,
she has a limp. Go for it.
This is... here you have Ben Carson. Ben Carson, apparently Rupert Murdoch now has decided that, well, this is how he's going to deal with Trump. And that is to inflate Ben Carson. But of course, Rupert Murdoch, I think, is probably right. I mean, the guy has got to be on the edge of dementia. I mean, I'm not making a medical diagnosis. I'm not able to do that. However, this seems pretty demented. Rupert Murdoch tweets out that it's time for this country to have a real black president. Now, people have debated back and forth. Is he saying like that Obama's not really black or that he's not really president? It's unclear. But here is former Reagan White House political director Jeffrey Lord speaking on CNN to defend Rupert Murdoch. It's also interesting that I found that in the introduction of him, they say he's a Donald Trump supporter. And I found, you know, they don't just make that up. You tell them that. And so he wants to come on as a Donald Trump supporter who is supporting this. And he doesn't seem to really have his heart in it. I can't quite make out why he's there, but he was completely offensive and ineffectual and funny. So let's listen to it.
Let's go to you first, Jeffrey. I want to get your take on that tweet by Murdoch. What do you think he meant?
Well, you know, interestingly, when President Obama was Senator Obama and was running in 2008, an African-American writer by the name of David Ehrenstein wrote a piece in the Los Angeles Times referring to Senator Obama as, quote unquote, the magic Negro. And by that, he meant someone like Sidney Poitier. He specifically referenced and other African-American actors, Will Smith, et cetera, who are not seen as, quote unquote, his words, threatening and not, quote, authentically black, like, say, Al Sharpton. Again, these were his suggestions. So I don't really think that Mr. Murdoch has said anything new here that hasn't been said.
All right, pause it. Wait a second. So he's saying that when Murdoch says it's time we had a real black president in there, what he is talking, he's referencing or he's mocking, or I should say following the argument that was made by this writer 8 years ago or 6 years ago, that Ben Carson is sort of one of those threatening black people. And it's time for America to elect one of those threatening black people. Ben Carson, I don't know. I mean, is he one of those threatening black people that...
He is. If you're an interested NYPD police officer, I would recommend shooting him.
Oh, I get it. I get it. He's one of those threatening black guys because if anything is coming at him, he could very well redirect it to you.
That's right.
Right? So he could say like, oh, I just saw him.
Saw him walking.
He's got a wallet full of $100 bills.
Are you going to really let a black man that walk in this neighborhood without getting checked
That's
out?
That's an interesting interpretation of Murdoch's thing. Well, let's hear what else this guy Jeffrey Lord has to say.
Oh, beyond that, I really couldn't say here. I just think that this is a sort of an old argument that somehow popped up here with Mr. Murdoch, but it's been said before and by an African American.
Again, three.
There you go.
African American.
So, a black guy said something that involved the word Negro. So, I mean, I don't know what else to tell you, really. I mean, what? That was just a bizarre segment.
Is there anything more you need to know about the devilish nature of the white man?
Who's
one clip.
Who's the other
rest my case.
Who's the other pundit in this clip?
because there's another pundit, an African American.
It's Keith Boykin, I think.
He's in the middle of the. There's like a three shot, and he's in the middle. And as Jeffrey Lord is saying this, he's just like shaking his head, like mm-hmm. just looking like, oh,
wow, this
my
guy!
God.
I can't believe they're actually trying to say this. This is stunning.
I didn't write the op-ed. Another magical Negro did.
It's all right, magical you hear this. To allow you me to hear use this, that word. You just got to hear this clip. And we'll put up the video part on YouTube because this is awesome. I mean, this happened so quickly with Kevin McCarthy yesterday that I don't buy the story that this was like a function. Like, I realized that, you know, I want more than 218 people to vote for me. I want 247. It's really about me. Just when I want everybody to like me, versus like, I really am not in a position right now to tell my wife about my extracurricular activities in Congress. So after supposedly, and everybody came out of there saying like there were people crying in the cloakroom, and I honestly have been trying to wrap my head around, like, what? Like, what made these people cry, these grown men and women cry, when Kevin McCarthy, I mean, this is not a guy who's like an American hero, right? I mean, this is not a guy who's like, he's a hero, and he's being brought down. He's just like a stooge. I mean, everybody has been basically talking about this guy as being one of the most mediocre in every way. Well, apparently Don Young, a Republican congressman from Alaska, was really upset because Peter King is sitting there giving interviews and Don Young comes out of the caucus cloakroom or the cloakroom and nearly topples him and yells at the reporters. And the best is that Peter King, the tough guy, Peter King, looks like literally somebody has just knocked. He's like in school in the hallways and he's been walking down the hall and like the basketball player came by and just like slammed his books on the ground. He's just sitting there. Play this. It's pretty funny.
Good. And they had a
move it out of the way.
Okay,
let's go.
Stay with us. Stay with us, Ashley.
There you go. He shoves him out of the way and Peter King just looks terrified. And here's my question, ladies and gentlemen. If Peter King is going to let Don Young push him around like this, how's Peter King going to deal with Vladimir Putin? How come nobody's asking that question?
You flinch like a weakling. You are nothing, big head King.
All right, let's do one more about this. This Rand Paul has really, he's really hit the desperate... I mean, he's running for Senate now in Kentucky and just using his presidential aspirations as just a means to get on some media. Here he is telling an Iowa talk radio host, Jan Mikkelsen, who apparently is the go-to guy, right, in Iowa for conservatives, what it's going to take, his secret plan to stop mass shootings. It's brilliant. And it's really ridiculous that we haven't come up with this before. I mean, go ahead.
Rand Paul, what do you think of the president using another evil tragedy as a political jumping off point?
Well, I think it's sad. You know, the whole tragedy is sad. And I've got kids and I can't imagine them being shot, you know, at school one day. So it is an incredible tragedy, but it's even made worse by the president then politicizing it, jumping in, particularly since all of the things he's offering and wanting to do, I think most of them are already being done in Oregon. And by doing that, he takes our eye off the real problem, which is that most of these kids are mentally ill. And there isn't an easy way to fix this, but we ought to at least talk about what the problem is, which is mental illness and not necessarily gun registration or gun ownership.
So here you have Rand Paul saying that really I have no policy prescription here, but I have isolated the problem. The problem is mental illness. You have people who are completely irrational, completely who are not making any type of sound judgments and going into these places and killing people. And but Rand is not going to leave you without a policy prescription, ladies and gentlemen. He's got one.
Yeah, no, I think it is sad that the president would do this, but I think the president doesn't understand any of this. The other common denominator, other than mental illness, is that people are going to places that where guns are prohibited. So when you have a gun-free zone at a school, it's like an invitation. If you are crazy and want to shoot people, that's where you go. I would do the opposite. I would have and encourage every school in America to put stickers on every window going into the school saying, "We are armed. Come in at your own peril." We have concealed carry for teachers who have it, and we also have armed security, and you will be shot. You know, I mean, the thing is, we should have that on every cockpit of every commercial airliner, and we should have that in every school. And I do believe guns are a deterrent. You know, they don't go into the sheriff's office wanting to shoot the sheriff's office. They go to the school where there are no guns.
Now, let's just give Rand Paul the benefit of the doubt for a moment and say that these stickers are going to be truthful, that you're going to arm kindergarten teachers. You're going to train them. They're going to have guns in the classroom, presumably, right? And they have to be readily accessible. You don't want to lock them up. Because, you know, you won't be able to get to him when the guy comes in there. And, of course, you know, teachers, a lot of people, I think we having a dearth of teachers in this country now because of the way that we've been treating teachers and disrespecting them. Well, now we have another enticement to become a teacher. You probably will get at least some free handgun training, which I think a lot of people who go into the teaching profession, they perceive themselves as a person who, like, I'm going to do some handgun training. And of course, you're going to not just have to teach them how to shoot. You're going to have to teach them how to function in a combat-like situation, which, you know, so we would send them probably to, like, I don't know if a boot camp is necessary, but an ongoing thing, maybe 6 to 10, 12 weeks out of the year, teachers will go to a training situation so that they fire without flinching at this at the perp. Or we could not be generous to Rand Paul and say, so stickers are going to deter these people who he thinks are so crazy, and that's the only reason why they go in and shoot people.
Sort of like when you just peel that sticker off your neighbor's house who has like the Sloman shield and you put it on your house and you're like, now this will deter the burglars.
Bingo. You can put, it's like one of the putting those fake things on your steering wheel so that they don't steal your car. I mean, it's really the Ben Carson.
You put like a beware of dog right. like thing and it shows like this big Rottweiler, but you really just have like a Chihuahua.
Or maybe you could put on the sticker, go to the church. They don't have guns there. And like little directions, like here's the soft targets in town. And so the person who is insane enough to want to go in, shoot everybody, and either shoot themselves or get themselves killed by the cops who eventually show up, you give them a sticker like, this is the soft target in town.
Could you imagine like the first and second graders like learning to like read and like reading comprehension, and they're walking to school one day and they see the sticker like, come in at your, mommy, I don't want to go to school.
Right. That's right. Or you know, here's the other thing. Maybe what we could do is we could get we could round up all of these immigrants that the Republicans want to round up, and we just divvy them up, you know. So we put 5 or 10 per town in across the country, and they just hang out in like a completely soft target area, like, you know, like just sitting in a cafe or something, like we set like establish a real cafe, and the stickers can all say like, here's where the softest target in town is.
Oh, so like a mass shooting Shabaskoy.
It's exactly.
I get it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah.
It's
sort of like the flypaper theory that we had in Iraq, right? We're going to attract all the terrorists.
So. I think it can totally work. There'd probably be less Jews that would go into teaching because they're too sensitive to handle firearms, but you know. Why you want your kids learning from Jews anyways? Can I be president? It's been a long, arduous process. Also, the teachers would have to take loans, no doubt. Those would not be free gun training courses. That would be another way they'd go into debt.
Of course not.
Yeah, well, you like what, that was not the only part of your analysis that fell off, I thought.
Right.
They're not getting free training.
That's true. They're we should say be, that yeah. you would have... You would get judged in your teaching ability by the aggregate of scores of a test set up by Bill Gates.
Right.
And also your capacity or ability, I should say, to hit a target and to hit a target while you're running. Because it's just not enough to do it while you're standing. You got to be running. You got to do the one somersault, then pop up, fire, bang, 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 like, you know, Ben Carson could be the instructor.
What was it that Matt said the other day? You need to start finding kindergarten teachers who are like mellow and tender enough to care for children and lunatic enough.
Look, wait a second. To be fair, there is precedent for this. I don't know if any of you have seen Kindergarten Cop. It was with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he was a cop, but he was in the kindergarten class. I mean, so this is not an absurd
idea.
What
about a Ben Carson scenario, though, where all of a sudden it's happening, it's go time, and look at the kids, they're unarmed. don't you want to be firing at them? They have a lower clear line than me.
The old snowball trick, right? You pick up one of the kids, throw them up in the air so that the shooter gets distracted, shoots the kid, and that's how you do it.
Oh,
Miss Smith's class, rush him.
The stickers didn't deter you. Well, may I recommend you shoot Bobby over there in the front row? And I'll be on my way to get some cocoa for myself.
Bobby, attack him. If you start everybody, he won't be able to shoot all of you.
Ask him if he's a Christian and then say, did I stutter? Okay, have a nice day, everybody.
And Bonara, as a replacement to the Ten Commandments display, I suggest a giant statue of Jesus giving the Second Amendment to Ronald Reagan. Lucifer, what do you think of the Russia's involvement in Syria? I assume you support it. Long live Putin. But seriously, what do you think? I almost think they actually have a legitimate reason to do what they're doing now. Syria is at least closer to the Russian border and could be a potential security threat. Why is the U.S. staying? Heroin production and export, a lot of money for the CIA and the banksters. Are you talking about in Afghanistan? Oh, why is the U.S. in Afghanistan? I would imagine it is less about heroin and more about oil, I would imagine. Heroin is usually just sort of like a byproduct on how you finance these things. Chris Lopaco, there was a shooting on campus today, but the shooter didn't want the attention, so the media probably won't cover it that closely. By the way, the sheriff who's investigating the shooting in Oregon is in a Facebook group for people who sell, buy, and trade assault rifles on Facebook. Oh, that's very smart.
Well, he also shared those Sandy Hook conspiracy videos, and I believe he believes that Sandy Hook was like all crisis actors and, you know.
Well, have you ever heard of a crisis actor? I just want to talk like Ben Carson always now.
He really likes to
see it's alluring.
We got a suggestion. Brettelmecht, really loving the Eagles of Death metal. Have you considered updating? Well, that's why we're getting rid of Matt, is because Matt does not update the music at all.
I remember when I was first here, I would try to play some of my music, and you were just like, oh, that's not a good break music for this reason, blah, 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 blah. So I just kept with all the music you supplied me. When there's Matt and Mike, people know that there's great taste in this room.
Mm. That's true.
All right.
We play very diverse music.
Yeah, well, that's not what we said. I just said updating it. The DX Fool, we'll work on that. I mean, we had to fire Matt to have that happen, but DX Fool, hi guys. So will Eric Holder advise John Bonair on how to bide his time while the Republicans delay a vote on his replacement? Well, Holder's no longer in the Department of Justice, but I mean, I think he could bide his time. He just doesn't resign, I guess. What is it about Sam that makes these guys named Matty leave? Anyway, Matt, good luck with a new job, like the third owner of the cafe.com domain. P.S. I still miss Lauren from the Sunday show. She should come back. Jared Montieth. I haven't talked to Lauren Kirshner in a long time. I ran into her like a year ago, I think. Hi, Sam. Yesterday on the show, you said you still the initial invasion supported the invasion of Afghanistan. I didn't have a position on it in 2001, considering it was 9 years old at the time. Strongly anti-war, even oppose Obama's and Russian bombing of ISIS. I consider myself an isolationist. I think we shouldn't have any troops outside the U.S., trade with all nations, have no sanctions on any nation. When I called into the Tom Hartman program a few days ago, he agreed with me. My grandfather fought as a Marine in Guadalcanal before and after Pearl Harbor when he was in California. They stationed him on a beach machine gun miles away. Okay, if you see Japanese, my mother told me he used to wake up at night screaming and other stuff I don't want to talk about. I have two brothers in and out of the Navy Army, but never saw combat. Where do you stand on the military intervention in Syria and Iraq against ISIS? I've noticed a lot of people tend to condemn ISIS war crimes against humanity while ignoring war crimes committed by Shia militants in Iraq, Iraqi government, Assad regime, Iran government. As Chris Hedges pointed out, we've become Bashar Assad's air force. We are creating more ISIS terrorists by bombing them. Our weapons are going to the FSA, fall into the hands of ISIS. Well, I think that's already happened, frankly, the weapons, the FSA. We're only making things worse. I mean, my feeling was that I was okay with our Air Force helping out in Iraq to basically prevent imminent slaughter of civilians there. I just don't think that we should be going into Syria. I mean, I just don't think there's anything that we can do. I think ISIS are bad people, and I think there are, you know, in the western parts of Iraq, Iraq is, you've got, there's a couple of main roads basically that they need to use to transport, and it seems to me that we could bomb them out, that, you know, with some ease away from civilian centers. But I'm not quite clear on exactly what our strategy is there, to be honest with you.
There's a second school shooting today.
You're kidding.
The Texas Southern University is on lockdown right now.
Oh, Jesus. B, establishment Republicans are Coke. Tea Party Republicans are Pepsi. House leadership is Michael Jackson's Jerry Curl. Umar Shami, Sam, you misinterpreted my post yesterday. That was the last recommendation to Matt since he's leaving. I'm not giving up on you. Oh, okay. Also, you do have time to play video games. You just need to use the little time you currently use on movies and TV shows. I don't even do that much.
But it's not the same, though. You could sit down and catch a quick show or movie, but you got to sit down and play a game.
Well, the problem with the well, that's the thing is too that usually when I'm watching something else, I'm doing some other work. And here's the other problem: we have one TV. If I'm playing a video game, at the time when I would be watching TV, it's also the time that Nikki would be watching TV. And
so she's got to watch you play the game. It's that simple.
Yeah, that's not what will happen. That's not what will happen. No.
Sounds like you have your house on lockdown, Matt.
Well,
good for you.
Well, lucky enough.
Look at that.
Lucky enough, my girlfriend enjoys playing video games.
I know. I think at the time I probably miscalculated, I don't know if I was into video games at the time where I met Nikki. I just assumed that we'd have our own separate apartments, anyways.
By now, at least.
Yeah, that was basically the plan. Horse Zachary, I guess Matt will be leaving for Guam to launch his new pro wrestling cosplay site. Too soon for you guys to try this out. But for months, I've been wanting to suggest a Cedar Binder mispronounce off. The idea is simple. Get somebody who can read, presumably Michael, to select two paragraphs, no more than moderately difficult reading. Have Matt and Sam take terms with them. See who ends up making the worst or most novel mistakes.
That would be really interesting.
It would have been great. Sam's talents in this arena are legendary. It's true. But until Kevin McCarthy came along, Matt was the only adult native speaker of England I'd ever witnessed pronounce the word politics incorrectly. He said politics. Politics.
I don't remember that one.
Wait, then he did so in the context of hosting an internet radio show dedicated to politics. Is nothing short of stunning. Maybe you guys can arrange something by phone later. We could try something like that. Militant Apathy. Ask Matthew what he thought about the movie Dope. I thought it was great. Good point, but those effers knew he was a scumbag. Hassert lived in the same D.C. apartment with a bunch of the House leadership, didn't he? Straight out of Congress. Hey, Sam, what Matt and Mike predicted came true. I was watching Sam Rubin interview Milo Yiannopoulos. While he was railing against feminism, he spoke of an article he wrote about mass shootings stemming from the horrible position we've put me in. P.S. Good luck, Matt. I'm not sure I follow that. But
basically, the you know, the MRA slash anti-social justice warrior, anti-PC culture people believe that mass shootings occur because the poor guy, it's not his fault. A girl just needed to intervene in his life, you know, have sex with him, and it would have made his life better, and then he wouldn't have gone on a mass shooting. And that's literally what they believe.
Okay, and?
And that's what we were joking. Okay.
About to create a whole new internet audience for us there, buddy.
At any moment, we could just make, we could just, you know, I've been thinking about it. You know, it's really the, it's really women's fault.
Guys are really just all brave.
Just it's everything.
Just everything. It's just fault. Like, oh, God. But it's always the guys who take the rap. All right, let's go to the phones. You're calling from a 203 area code. Who's this?
Hi, Sam. This is Jay. Good afternoon.
Jay from Connecticut. Hello, Jay. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Great show today.
Well,
I love tuning in on Fridays.
Hmm. All right, what are you suggesting? That the other days are not as strong?
In point of fact, it's more out of devotion than real urgency.
Really?
Kind of a, you know, I'm set in my ways, I guess. Well, I'm in my 50s, dude.
Well, wait a second. Wait. The fact
hard,
that you're...
Hard for me to get passionate about anything.
All right, I understand that. I definitely understand that that sense. But, you know, I'm going to send out a survey soon and ask people about whether or not, you know, because a buddy of mine said, like, you know, I'm a member of the show and I will skip 70% of the interviews because it's too much work. Now, this guy's, you know, not exactly the sharpest.
I listen to the interviews.
Oh.
I do listen to the interviews. And
I just don't like
them. Other people to listen as well.
But you just listen because out of habit. You're just too old. You're just too old of a dog to learn new tricks is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. I'm like one of those guys who writes letters to the editor, except people don't do that as much anymore.
I understand.
Just tweet.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Fine.
In fact, I would keep tweeting, but it's getting blocked by everybody.
Well, I understand. That's great. I mean, yes. I mean, it's, you probably deserve it.
Who's blocked you?
It's... Who?
Yeah.
Where to begin?
Throw some names out.
Two, three names.
Well, I see Jay on Twitter, and he will say sarcastic things that are easily misinterpreted, and you don't, if you're not aware of him, you would actually take what he's saying literally, and people find it offensive. I mean, I imagine this is a problem for you in your daily life.
Jocularly adversarial.
I mean, I imagine this is why you're alienated. Are you alienated from your workers, from your coworkers?
No. We're forced to be together, so I can't be alienated from my coworkers.
All right. So, Jay, what do you have for us today?
Cubicle.
All right. What do you?
Well, I happen to be calling about the interview from yesterday, Jeff Smith. I sent over, and here again was me miscommunicating on IM. I sent over IM saying that. That there is a very deliberate process in which young African American men who from poor neighborhoods, let's say, I think drug laws are aimed at them because it helps keep them the ambitious and entrepreneurial among them out of the competition with establishment business people. I meant that sincerely. I wasn't joking.
I don't know if it gets that granular, but I definitely think the idea of like, this is a great way. This is a twofer for us. One, it finances,
right.
we make some money. And two, we also eliminate a huge sort of like, we can put away a significant portion of our employ, you know, our competition or, you know, keep our wage pool, we keep them out of the wage pool, essentially. I mean, there's some truth to that.
With people who enter the drug trade on the street level, they are self-starters, which is, you know, supposed to be ideal in the business world. They're motivated and they have a long kind of a view of where they want to be. And they see what their limitations are and they react to that. I think they have a lot of native ability in business. And the fact that they're willing to break the rules shows that they would probably excel in at the high level of business if they had the opportunity. So I think, yeah, it's positive spillover, as they say in economics, that they found that, you know, these point mandatory drug sentences that are directed toward people who don't commit violent crimes,
right,
have a positive spillover. And I think that's why it's another reason they're so slow in taking down these mandatory drug sentences.
I
just wanted to clarify that.
I appreciate it. And you want to say goodbye to Matt, Jay?
Yes, that's the other reason I called, of course. And I just flag on Matt. He's one of the greats. And so is Michael. I always like to tease him a little, tweak him now and again. But
Blocked.
I have no worries about Matt. I just miss his patois and the fact that he talks about wrestling. I think I'll miss that the most.
All right. Hang in there. Hang in there, Jay. It'll be okay.
I'm going to block you on Twitter.
You still have Kevin McCarthy.
And I think we have to also talk about this. My PayPal hasn't been billed. I think I'm not getting billed for being a member. I think I'm like...
Yeah, well, why don't you fix it?
I'm a freeloader, I think.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't get billed.
All right.
On the plus side, my wife got a membership.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, send us an email, Jay, and I'll send you some instructions to fix what you're doing.
Plus an invoice of all the months you've missed.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that, Jay.
And tell everybody to follow my Twitter also.
Bye. We just hung up on you. Because, look, I don't want to, like, invite people to get offended by you. Michael sends me it looks like Paul Ryan not running for speaker. Look, there is no upside for this guy to do it. There's no upside. And it's going to be, without him, it's going to be, but even with him, Dolink, Maddow announced she'll host a forum, not debate, of Democratic presidential candidates in November on The Daily Show last night. I wonder if that counts as one of the debates. We'll see. Mason Tara Watcher, congratulations on second cam. Use it during breaks, for instance. D. Dugfumajal, Sam, take it very close to Hillary in Las Wages because she'll be the last time you see her in person before she's in a federal prison for mishandling the classified material. Doug Fujimawal, okay. Good luck, Matt. Remember, Jihadist Rock, Doug Fujimawal.
Was that Doug?
Yeah, is that really him?
That's Doug. Like Doug who calls in. Yeah.
Oh, it's really him?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a guy mocking him.
No.
That's funny because I actually thought it's a guy mocking Doug, and it's actually Doug?
I mean, it could be because he's the only guy who ever mentioned that I look like I was in ISIS.
No, that's him.
I actually thought it was a parody account of Doug, and it turns out to actually be Doug.
I mean, yeah, it's got to be him. Otherwise, it's a failure of a parody because that's actually what Doug would say.
Hmm. Nothing clever comes to mind. Correcting Cliff, House rules say you need a majority of votes for Speaker, not a plurality. Plurality, yes. So Republicans could not split the vote and let Pelosi be Speaker. It would just go to a second ballot. No, 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 no. Republicans could split the vote, but if Democrats all voted one way, they would provide them with 218 votes. Technically socialist. Hi, Sam and company. As you said with Cliff, Biden's support comes from Hillary's numbers. So why aren't Bernie supporters' campaigns more excited for Biden's entry? Is the trade off in reduced airtime really that big? Oh, yes, I think it is. I think it is. Because Biden, you know, he'll get to a certain point and he'll drop out and he'll just give it to Hillary. That's my guess. A square. Sam, what a circus in Congress, but all but predicted by a majority report. The Republican Party is a regional party, and we see how that continues to play out. ISA was on Morning Joe this morning, threw shade at Chaffetz. He said that he had not issued any reports from his committees as he endorsed himself for speaker. Enjoy the trip next week, and we so look forward to your commentary and debate on real issues next week. Sammy Camera One, this is more of a question to all the other listeners, viewers. Finding each day's live video always seems to require at least a dozen clicks from Majority FM through the Majority.fm YouTube channel, through the Sam Cedar YouTube channel, back to Majority. Click, click, click. Am I alone in that?
No, you should be able to just go to YouTube.com/Sam Cedar during the show, and it'll be up there. It's like the main thing.
Well, I don't know why we don't embed it on the Majority Report page.
Okay, yeah.
Why? Don't, particularly with the new system, right? We could embed it all the time.
No, 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 no. No, because we're doing it using events again.
Why?
Because I think it's better that way.
Why?
Because you create the event, and when that gets created, it lets everyone know that the event has begun.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that.
We could test it out, try different.
This is the last day.
Yeah.
You're fired. Grade 8, leap forward. I think the establishment GOP is already extinct for practical purposes. When you have a large portion of Republicans looking to be the Democratic Party to caucus with, it's conceivable they will be toast come election. As one member put it here, to legislate, I came here to legislate, and the only way I can do this is by working with Democrats. 50% of the base is voting against Republican political candidates. Right-wing purge is therefore virtually complete, just waiting for the election cycle clock to tick over. The right doesn't want the White House. They just want to stop government. Doesn't this debacle just prove that the libertarian job is pretty much done? Lone Star Liberal. Hey, guys, I think the Republicans should quit beating around the bush and just elect Rush Limbaugh as Speaker of the House. Indeed. Little Gray. While you guys were talking about film recommendations, I was given one by an old friend from Moscow, Mad Dog Time, from 1996 with Jeff Goldblum and Ellen Barkin. I checked his reviews. Roger Ebert said Mad Dog Time is the first movie I've ever seen that does not improve on the sight of a blank screen viewed for the same length of time. Charlie, Cubs or Cards? Well, I feel sort of like sentimental towards the Cubs. But I don't really care, to be honest with you. Solvent, on yesterday's show, I think I just I heard Matt read a report of Peter King calling the congressional locker room a banana republic, downright Romanesque. Sounds like the Ben Carson strategy for dealing with gun violence in schools. Chem Champion, so funny that you brought up kids. I felt so old when I saw the 20th anniversary piece about the movie in New York Times. Reminisced with my brother about watching that movie as a seventh grader, and with them and my parents. It's not always cool to have parents that watch with their children, so the latest hit movie, they read about it in Rolling Stone. So disturbing and uncomfortable. Yeah, that seems a little bit young for that movie. Film Fest guy, and no one should be the speaker because, you know, freedom. Psychedelic Quaker. Here's a movie recommendation for all three of you. The Man Who Would Be King. I love that movie. That is with Sean Connery. What characters would you be being with The Man Without King? I can't really remember, but it was it's a good movie. I watched Braveheart when I watched The Patriot and Red Dawn, says Kevin 11721. Dawn 88, Matt, hate to see you go, my man. You'll be missed. Much success in your future endeavors and congratulations with the birth of your child.
Why, thank you.
Colin Eismeyers, I thought Isabel was going to suggest The Hobbit. Enjoy your new job, Matt. Are you writing articles or are you going to be more behind the scenes?
A little bit of both.
BB, Matt, listening to you guys is a daily treat. I wish you the best in your next job and beyond.
Thank you.
Well, I guess that wasn't enough to really inspire you. Ben there.
I was waiting,
Matt,
for what was
good
beyond.
Luck. I'm going to miss seeing you on YouTube and wondering, doesn't that boy ever get a haircut? Censor Sweep, what was the name of the Meatloaf movie? What TV scene do you think is funnier? In a principal's office, a teacher being suspended, fired for some type of anti-American infraction, when the teacher is forced to hand over their service weapon, would it be funnier if it was a gym teacher also handing over their whistle, or kindergarten teacher handing over maybe a hand puppet? Nurse Stanley, good luck out there, Matt. I want to thank you for your work on the Majority Report. Thank the Gooch for his work on Ken, Ken, and Ken. Curse you.
It's the dork.
The Gooch?
The dork.
The dork. The dork.
And curse you for the MRA Gamergate insanity that you made me aware of. Hugo Ball. Matt, buddy, you're in. You are a bloody parent. Want Ezra drinking soda? Cavities happen before the baby teeth fall out, so good luck with that. Oh, yeah, it's really bad. Inner city kids are acculturated in dysfunctional society systems like schools, so they don't see any upside in buying into establishment structures like corporate enterprise. Matt, could you design El Binduro Luca Libre mask?
Lucha Libre, Sam.
Lucha Libre. Well, there's a perfect example of it would be a killer Majority Report swag.
That would be pretty cool.
Sam, Martin in New York, is the healthy support respect for Kim Davis among Christians in the U.S. In any way similar to the support that extremists in the Middle East receive from their own countrymen? Isn't the religious aspects of these two endeavors that disarm some of the opposition? I'm not even sure I follow the question per se. Con College 06, Con Call. Kyle would like the credit for hiring Matt to go solely to him. That's all. Signed, Kyle, as wife, as Kyle drives.
Oh. Does your wife do that? Finish your text messages for you?
Well, I think it's her. I think it's her. It's her I am.
Wow. So Kyle's wife listens to the show.
Well, they're driving down, and Kyle knows it's your last day, and he's going to call in. But
you know, it's weird that I feel like I know Kyle like I know you and Michael. I mean, not as well, obviously, but I feel like I know him. Like,
have you even ever met him?
I've met him once, and it was the first year I was here.
Wow.
It was when you were doing the Marc Maron live in Brooklyn thing, and he came down.
Wow.
And that's how much we connected on that one day.
Wow, that's really special. Ben Walton, poli sci student here. Any advice on whether or not I should move to D.C. after I graduate? No. What made you guys end up in NYC? Is it because you're more interested in the media? Keep up the good work. It's, my regards to Matt. Well, I'm here because I came down really more for entertainment reasons than politics or journalism. Are you aware, comptroller fraud, are you aware 100,000 Peruvians are planning to vote Kim Davis as the next speaker? Fight test. Two people were shot near Texas Southern University. It's apparently the third in recent weeks near the campus. Really wondering how the GOP will blame gun control again.
It's the second college shooting today, and just like within not even 24 hours.
Deuce McDaily, Kai Risdale, do you think you're so smart because you know the difference between budgetary spending and making good on paying bills? But have you read Mein Kampf?
Surprised he didn't go there.
Mark in the 810, Braveheart. Oh, right. I remember when Sam interviewed Peter Schiff, Matt dressed in a kilt and mooned the YouTube stream. Jay Chavone, are you not taking calls today? Oh, also, I'll be thinking of Matt as I watch The Walking Dead on Sunday. And I'll be thinking of Matt as I watch Under the Sun on Vera Channel. And Sam, I'll be thinking of you as I watch All In with Chris, and you're on it. Thank you. E. Greg.
Yeah, Walking Dead's back this Sunday. Yep. Should be a great season. Looking forward to it.
I actually don't see anything too egregious in White Grand Paul said over there. I think you guys are stretching your indignation to Ben. Too thin. Sorry, I am dictating while I'm driving and to register my car. All right, yeah, that's not safe. Live in a Lemon World, Ben Carson, I think the likelihood of Hitler being able to accomplish his goals would have been greatly diminished if the people had been armed. 10 to 15 years ago, this would have been the end of the campaign. Today, gains points. It's true. That's true. The part about gaining points. I have a feeling the issue was not that they weren't armed. The issue was, I think, that they didn't, nobody could conceive of something like that.
Have you ever seen Inglourious Bastards, Sam? Just take it from there and just use a little thing I call logic, which I learned as a surgeon.
Interesting thing, though, is
even
in that movie, one of like the fan favorite characters, he uses a bat.
What?
He doesn't use a gun, I don't think. Mm. He just uses a baseball bat.
Don't you want to look at that old lady over there with the stoop? She would be a better mugging victim than me. Undoubtedly.
Drysman. Not sure if I get another chance to say goodbye to Matt. Thank you for all your hard work and good luck where you go. Stay dry, friend. Midwest Progressive. Why doesn't anyone call out these anti-gun free zone candidates for being hypocritical since they don't allow people to carry guns at their rallies and speeches? I believe the NRA prohibits guns at their events, too. Ice Cream Socialist, NIU bomb threat last night and GSU bomb threat today. Wonder where the Republicans are going to suggest giving explosives to teachers to deter bomb threats. Matt and the BK. Matt, once again, wishing you all the best. Oh, sorry. Wishing you all the best on your new venture. Best wishes to Sam on getting someone as good as you, but who's not addicted to energy drinks. When is she letting you marry her?
Wait, what?
When is your girlfriend letting you marry
her? Oh, well, we are engaged. We've been engaged for like a year now. Almost a year now. But we've been together for way longer than that. So
when is she letting you marry her?
Oh, I don't know.
When we raise the Red Bull and toast.
The ill mechanism for your TV watching, get a cheap tablet for Netflix. We're going to really miss you, Matt. Love, Michael's Ben Carson. Jimmy Reefer, instrumental. Hey, Sam, I personally feel the interviews are hit or miss. If it's something I want to learn about, I listen. If not, I wait for the fun half. Don't change anything. Jimmy Reefer Cake, great show. More Ben Carson impressions. That dude is so mellow. Matt, I've enjoyed you and will follow your future work. I like the comedy part of the show best. In that realm, you guys have less limit to audience size. Jay Tingle is right on. Great call. AJS93, anyone predicting a Republican implosion is forgetting the fact that Republicans and Republican voters hate Democrats far more than they like Republicans. So they always vote for any Republican over Democrat. Indeed. Born Blue, definitely the Cubs. We are way overdue. And best of luck to Matt. I will miss your voice and your humor and your insights and no joke. And the final I am is N. Buonaro. Bye, Matt. Best wishes. Oh, that was a good one. So Matt will be here on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
For the final Matt and Mike Monday, but we're doing it on a Tuesday.
Yes.
So this will be the last time I will be on the program with Matt. So it's a little bit
sad.
So, Matt, let me just say, wait a second, that's a little bit too, let's just do a little bit, something a little more, a little bit.
That's a little bit too.
This is.
You could go with this one, though, if that's really how you feel. If it matches your feelings, then I think that's fine.
I don't know if I like this one. Wait a second. All right. This is better. Matt. I'm addressing you today to send you off into glorious battle. With a startup. And good luck. It's a startup. So, yeah, I should have really prepared something. It didn't even really occur to me that this was your last
That's
day.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. No. Oh, that's right. All I can tell you is
you
that.
You have an Air America memory?
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember when I was like you. And I went off to a startup. It was called Air America. And I thought, this is going to be great. And it was a nightmare. But Matt, we couldn't have done this without you 4.5 years ago. Dorsey, who had come to me and said, like, I'll help you do the show. And I'm like, we don't even have any revenue. He's like, don't worry about it. Well, you know, we'll deal with it. I mean, Dorsey, I think, like, was sleeping in his car at the time. And I don't even think it was his car. He was sleeping in a car.
A car, yeah.
And I think he was just, like, borrowing it from a friend or something. Or just like, hey, where are you parking your car? I'll sleep in there.
Hey, this door's unlocked. Let me just...
Exactly. But when Dorsey left, I was mildly panicked. I hired you. Kyle was really the one who said to hire you.
Interesting.
I couldn't decide between you, I think. I mean, he told me this. I can't really remember this, but he told me this. And I believe Kyle. Kyle doesn't lie. And we struck, you know, I don't know, gold is the right word. silver, I really think. No, we struck gold. And we've been very fortunate to have you. Honestly, I don't know how Michael would have survived this entire time without you doing 90% of his work.
What?
You knew nothing about the board when you came in. You said you knew something about video, and you have learned a tremendous amount. And you have really built up, I mean, in addition, obviously, to the audio show, I mean, a lot of people listen to the podcast don't realize that we also have a YouTube channel, which has become a real significant source of revenue for us. And you've built that up, built up our social media. I could always rely on you to pick up the slack and go to Vegas. Or when we have, you know, weeks off or something, you're posting the show. It took a huge amount of pressure off of me. This can be a grind to dig into this stuff every day. So I want to thank you. I want to wish Ezra good luck. And I don't know if you want to say your girlfriend's name on.
You could. Romina.
I mean, okay.
I just did it.
All right. Romina's good luck as well. Thank you so much for all the work you've done on this show. And the door is always open. Not necessarily for you, but but if you happen to sneak in when it's open, then, now, you know, I know you'll be coming back. couple of weeks after you've been over there going like, they don't like me drinking my soda on the board during the technical equipment. They're upset. And so, but, and we're really going to miss you. I don't know how we're going to travel into that other plane for Ken, Ken, and Ken. Mm-hmm. Without the danger of you pouring your soda on the soundboard.
I don't know what you're talking about. But who's Ken, Ken, and Ken?
Right. Both. Both.
But, Matt, thank you so much. Michael, I guess you'll get your chance to say goodbye to Matt.
Yeah, we'll have it on Tuesday. We're going to have a whole retrospective.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're going to have Matt special. Cut up clips of himself? Is that basically what you...
Well, I don't like to be a
Matt,
spoiler.
I'd really like you to prepare a bunch
basically,
of retrospective clips.
Basically, the show is
going to
be...
Pick your favorite clips of yourself so we can play them.
Right, exactly.
Matt, I got a great idea. Here's what we're going to do, son. How about you cut up a bunch of clips of you and we...
It really is like working with Tom Sawyer for you, right? Like,
oh, that's a compliment. Thank you. I like Tom Sawyer. I appreciate that.
Well, I just would like to say thank you. That's very heartfelt, Sam. Thank you very much. And I appreciate the gift of this new iMac, which is for me to take with me, right?
Mm, of course.
Yeah.
The crook. My God, I did forget to get you a gift. Oh, all right. Well, we still got time, sort of, I think.
Get him a drink.
Get this kid well,
his
congratulations.
First drink.
You've got a lifetime supply of Monster Energy drink.
Really?
Well, the odds are, I checked with an actuarial, and if you drink it for long enough, it's not going to cost me too much.
So not that much longer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you're good to go.
Matt, thank you so much for everything. And folks, just so you know, on Monday, we're going to have a quickie show with Elizabeth Brunig from the New Republic on the Wild Wild West of the medical marijuana industry. On Tuesday, the final appearance of Matt on this program, Matt and Mike Tuesday. Wednesday, a quickie relatively as a debate wrap up. Then Thursday and Friday, I will be at the Mass Torch Conference in Las Vegas. I got a wide array of guests. It should be really interesting. So we will talk to you then.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. Finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light's shining bright. I guess I'm where the choice was made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know how far the detour takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining. Shifted in and out of-